this, that this message stays in their head when they come to, when it comes to Monday morning, that this message receive, that they receive this message, whoever needs to receive this message,
Jesus,
as they bless
hallelujah.
Them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated just for a minute. I want to say how good it is to see you today. This Saturday at 4 p.m. is our trunk or treat in Jefferson, and they would still love more people to show up. Last year we had, you know, 350 kids come through, and we're hoping there's more. And so if you would love to be a part of that, we would love for you to get a trunk ready. Don't do any ghoulish stuff. No skeletons and graveyards and none of that stuff. Make it fun, but we'd love. And then the following Friday, I think it is, on the 31st, they're doing one in Conneaut. So if you'd like to do that. Actually, I would go so far as to say, now, I wish my wife was still playing, because I can get away with some more heavy hitting, fastballs when she's playing. But I would go so far as to say, even if you don't want to, so what? Do it anyway. Look at that. Not one amen. Nothing. I'm not sure if you realize it or not, but Jesus wasn't excited about Calvary. If you ever think that he ran to the cross, you're wrong. Jesus tried to get out of the cross. He said, Lord, if this cup can pass, the humanity of him did not want to endure what he had to endure, but the willingness to sacrifice so that we would be saved is what drove him beyond his own desires. And the greatest tragedy for the church in 2025 is too many churches are doing things that are good to the flesh, but not led by the Spirit. And so we have to teach ourselves to do things we don't want to do. Amen? I want to talk to you about heaven for a couple minutes. It used to be maybe more of a topic of discussion than what it is today. For some people, heaven is an exciting thing, and others, it's a reference to a vacation or a lifestyle. Have you ever eaten something and said, oh, this tastes like heaven? You know how foolish we sound when we make statements like that? First of all, I don't think heaven has a taste to it. Secondly, we can't compare because we've never been there. And I'm saying that for a reason. As we get closer to the Lord's return to claim his church, we will see more and more manipulation of truth and things that are associated with truth in an effort to water down the gospel and the message so more and more people miss it. I don't know what you believe, and I want you to get with me here this morning. I don't know what you believe, but the Bible says hell has enlarged herself beyond measure. Hell is getting bigger, it's not getting smaller. Because the closer we get, the more Satan goes about to lie and to steal and to kill and to deceive and to destroy. And so sometimes we have to bring ourselves back to some of the very basics of life. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, I'm here because I want to go to heaven. I'm not here because the pews are comfortable. I'm not here because we have the greatest preacher in the world, even though maybe you think you do. I'm not here because I love everybody, because we know some of y'all got problems with each other. I'm here because I want to go to heaven. And this morning, I want to ask you the question, do you want to go to heaven? And of course, the answer is always a resounding yes. The problem is, this question is asked so little because the outcome is presumed more than it is understood. And what I mean by that is, there's a lot of people that think they're on their way to heaven, but nothing in their life aligns with the Word of God. Now, That's not to scare you. That's not to condemn you. That's to say that we have, listen, God puts you here however old you are. I'm 52. And if God is good to me and I can get another 30 years, I'll be thankful. But God gave us the life that we have for no other reason. Not for fame, not for fortune, not for degrees, not for education, not for earthly success. He gave us the span of life that we have so that we would take advantage of every day, so that if by chance God would smile upon us, I can make heaven my home when I leave this earth. And so the most important question you will ever ask is not, do you have salt to go with that? It's not, can you make it well done? It's not, can I get a pay raise? It's not, do I look good today? The most important question you'll ever ask is, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Now think about that for one moment. You're quiet. But I can push past all that. It don't matter to me. We don't ask this question. We don't think about the question much. You know why? Because we have a preconceived idea. And I'm going to show you this morning, if you want to go to heaven, I'm going to show you what you have to do to go to heaven. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's very easy. In John chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture was presented to Jesus. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Doesn't sound like a big issue, does it? But being a Pharisee and being very high up in the community, he had to secretly and by the cover of night go to Jesus in order to inquire of him. Are you with me? One of the most important things in this first two verses that we read is the Bible says that he recognized that Jesus was not just a regular teacher, but that he was from God. There's no preacher that is ordained of God that preaches under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is just a preacher. He's a preacher sent by God. But we don't like to acknowledge that anymore. And that's why the church is in the condition that it's in. Because if you don't have any form of spiritual headship or authority in your life, you will make up all of your own rules. And sadly, we do it based off what we find by Googling it. Or what we watch on YouTube, as if YouTube and Google are the authority of truth. Are you with me? The apostles, when they wrote the scripture that we read, if you believe that the word of God is a pure, undefiled, unchangeable truth, the word of God, Old and New Testament, if you believe that, then you have to ponder for a few moments how we got it. And it wasn't just by, they didn't have Google or internet. They didn't have commentaries. How many preachers can't preach without preachit.org? Because they're not preachers. They're hirelings. They didn't Google stuff. No, they got it directly by inspiration straight from God. Which is the way the preached word should be today. Do you know, I'll tell you right now, that any preacher that is worth anything, that is called of God, should be able to walk to the pulpit without a mess, without any notes, and preach a sermon. Why? Because God gives him the anointing and the direction to preach what he's supposed to preach. And so, the Bible says, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, he complimented Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that after he complimented, I know you've got to be from God because you can't do these things unless you're from God. Jesus doesn't say, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, me and God are really close. Actually, I am God in flesh. No, you know what he says? He begins to talk to him about being born again. And he comes back, doesn't acknowledge what Nicodemus says, and he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus does what any common man or woman would do. He does not have a clear understanding. And so he says, what do you mean? Am I supposed to climb into my mother's womb again? Because the carnal mind, the Bible says, cannot discern spiritual things. And so Nicodemus couldn't understand it. Jesus comes back and he repeats himself with further clarity. He said, verily I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I had a man years ago, I asked him this question. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, he said, born of the water is when you're, he says, is when you're born of your mother's womb. Listen, Brother Dan, I'm sorry. I never heard that quack of a theology until I got out here in Ashtabula County. Do you know how dumb that sounds? I'm just going to be real for a second. You're born of the water when you're born. What about those that have C-section? Are they never born of the water? So you're telling me that water baptism is forced on every human being? And if so, why were you baptized? Why did John the Baptist baptize? Why was Jesus baptized? Why did the disciples preach water baptism? What I'm telling you is that's a coot quack of a theology right there. And so he said that. I said, okay. I said, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? He says, well, I don't know. I said, well, you cannot know. I said, you got to know. It's in the Word. And you need to know. And so what I want to do today is help you know. I want you, listen to me, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell, that's your choice. My bishop always told me that people have a right to go to hell, and they do. If people have a right to live however they want, but that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And I say that only with sincerity, not with any spirit of meanness. And so my job, every preacher's job, is not to force people what to do. Our job is to present the gospel like a meal on the dining room table at dinner time and give you the option. That's why Jesus said, let him that is athirst come to the fountain and drink. He didn't force anybody anything. And so he says, if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now listen, as I dig into this, I might get way off my notes. I may stay on them. I'm going to flow with the things that I feel. I was explaining to the girls when we were coming up here. I said, when a preacher preaches, God opens your spirit up. That's why when he says things, and a preacher might be like, and I've said it many times, I told people right while I'm praying, don't argue with me. I can hear you argue with me. Because you can hear stuff in the spirit because God opens you up. And that's how you feel things. That's how you have discernment of spirit. Because he opens your spirit up to mingle with the other spirits of everybody else. That's why sometimes you leave the pulpit and you're so worn out that you can't keep your eyeballs open. Because all you dealt with is flesh sometimes. And flesh, the devil's not your problem. Flesh is. The devil can't stop you from going to an altar and repenting. But flesh can. The devil can't stop you from being baptized in water, but flesh can. The devil can't stop you from receiving the truth, but flesh can. And so the question that we all, the only reason we exist as a Christian, our only purpose is what? To get ourselves into heaven and get others into heaven. That's it. Now I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say this too for some of you seeker-friendly folks. We don't exist to have miracle services every Sunday. I knew that would get somebody. Jesus did not come into this earth to do miracles. There's no Bible for it. He did miracles because he had compassion and because he loved people. What was his purpose? The Bible says it. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That was his purpose. To seek and to save. What's he looking for? He's looking for a hungry heart. He's looking for somebody that says, I need Jesus in my life. He's looking for somebody that's not too proud to get on their knees and cry out to God. He's looking for somebody that will worship him. For the Father seeketh a true worshiper who will worship him in spirit and in truth. everything else he did while he was here was a bonus. It's kind of like when you're preaching a message and you take a detour and you go off on left field for about 3 minutes and you say, I'm sorry, that was off my notes. That's a bonus. That's why we don't take up a second offering. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. As much as I don't want to ever leave my kids, I think about this every single day, Brother Dan. I will one day. One day, they have to go on without me, should the Lord tarry. And so I've got two goals. Make sure I get to heaven and make sure I put enough into them that they continue to live for the Lord when I'm gone. And you can't control how long. You can get mad at God all you want to. God gave us every opportunity, and he told us what to do and how to do it and when to do it so we could be ready. And so we can make sure our children are ready and our families are ready. You don't have to worry about your failures. You just got to worry about never getting back up and keeping pushing on. So, Jesus said in verse 6, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, I'm going to take my time just for a second. Now, hear me, if you would. This whole thing is too easy to miss. And that's why we got so many churches that have gone wayward. Not because they're horrible people. And most churches, they love God, but they stop seeking and desiring and hungering for truth and righteousness. And sometimes you desire more people than you do truth. Hey, listen, I'd rather have 3 people that are hungry for what God wants to do in their life than 100 people that could care less about truth, just make me feel good. And so he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's born of spirit. You cannot have any form of spiritual birth when you're in your flesh. That's why your prayer, at some point, your prayer life has got to transform from me praying to God flowing through me, whether I'm praying in the spirit or whether like, who was it? My mind's going too fast here. It was Paul when he says, I was caught up in the spirit. I didn't know if I was in the flesh. I didn't know if I was sleeping. I didn't know if it was real or not. I can't remember exactly how he said it. Why? Because sometimes when you get in the spirit, that's where spiritual things are birthed. That means you cannot be born again of your own doing. Only the spirit can. And so then he says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The key there is must. Jesus did not give us an option. He said, if you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know you're saying, see, this is what I'm talking about right here. Well, he didn't say, if you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. He did. He said, you must be born of the water and the spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's heaven. You must be born of water and spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said, marvel not that I said, you must be born again. So the first thing I want you to understand today, if you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. Jesus immediately points to Nicodemus's deeper need, which was not religion, but it was spiritual rebirth. It teaches us that entrance into God's kingdom isn't based on heritage. It's not based on position. It's not based on anything other than being made new in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Only the Spirit can make you brand new. And you must, listen, God, why can't we go to heaven as we are? If God loved me, why couldn't I go to heaven? Because God is holy. That's why he said, be holy as I am holy. That's not a state of perfection. And so we cannot, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we cannot, in our carnality, be in the presence of a perfect and omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, divine, holy God. That's why in the Old Testament, he threatened to strike them dead if they kept pressing on the mountain because they were curious. And he told Moses, get down there and get him away or I'm going to kill them all. It wasn't because God was a tyrant, because our carnality cannot mingle with God's divinity. And so we must be born again in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And so, just very quickly, a recap. He says, verily, verily, which means he's emphasizing the absolute truth of what he's saying. It's not negotiable. You must be born again, not a physical birth, but a spiritual rebirth. We've already talked about that. In order to see the kingdom, it means to experience and understand the kingdom, enter into God's rule, his domain. That's what a kingdom is. It literally translates from domain. It's God's domain. God, let me see if I can make some sense of this for you. God reigns supreme, but there's sin and corruption, and there's evil all over the world. Why, if God reigns supreme? Because God only goes where he's invited. He's everywhere at one time. He sees everything. But when we begin to call upon his name, the scripture says he's as close as the mention of his name. When we begin to worship him and lift our hands and magnify him, God inhabits the praises of his people. God begins to manifest in his spirit in our midst. And that's when we begin to feel the presence and the power of God. But he only shows up when invited. That's why God will not come back to your pew and grab you by the hand and drag you to the front. We might do that in our own foolishness. Years ago, we were at a camp meeting. I'm going back quite a ways. And I had a young lady, she was backsliding. And I hated to see it, and I did everything I could. But I realize now you can't make people serve God. If they want to go to hell, they have that right to go to hell. They wouldn't choose hell, but they don't realize that's what they're choosing. So anyway, she just got to the point where she wouldn't budge, and we're down at camp meeting. And I grabbed her, I said, come on, let's go up front. I want to have the preacher pray for you. I got up front, and I said, will you pray for her? And she stood here like this. He looks at her. He looks at me. He says, I'm not praying for her. Why? Because she didn't want it. Because we can't force people into heaven. We can't cast something out of somebody they don't want cast out. Somebody can't be delivered if they don't want to be delivered. If you want to be delivered, God will do it. If you're tired of being empty and you're tired of being lonely and you're tired of being depressed and discouraged, I'm here to tell you God will do it. God can do it. The moment you begin to call upon him, he'll begin to show up in your life and he'll begin to do things that you never knew were possible in your life. But he has got to be invited. And so, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You're not really born again if there's not transformation in your life. There must be transformation. I used the example this morning. When a baby is born, we don't take that baby and say, go clean your room. No, we have to first teach the baby to talk. And we don't expect the first words out of the baby's mouth to be, hey, mom, would you make me a cheeseburger? No, we're looking for little steps, Sister Bonnie. How about mama? Dada. Oh, look, he talked. Was he alive before that? He was. But now he's learning to talk as he grows. See, as once we're born again, now the transformation begins to take place in our life. And then God teaches us how to talk like a Christian. And then he teaches us how to walk like a Christian. And as much as I keep saying I hate to use the word, but it is a progressive work in us. It is a progressive work in us. There must always, just like a child, you got to compare our spiritual birth to the birth of a natural child. Even at 10 years old, you don't expect them to know everything. I've been in church 10 years. Congratulations. You're almost a teenager. And then you're really in trouble. And so, he says, if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. There's got to be a transformation that takes place. You cannot keep doing the same things you did. You can't keep acting the same. Had a lady years ago, she says to me, well, Pastor, you know me. I've always been this way, and I'll always be this way. And she thought she was saying something cool. And I said, well, you must not be born again then. Because you can't always be that way. Am I in the book? Am I in the book? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I have to lose my identity of who I was. I cannot, listen, this, we got a problem in the church today. Are you okay? We got a problem in the church. The church is trying to mingle too much with the world. The church is trying to be too much like the world. And you know how we do it? We listen to the devil. Well, just come how you are. I believe anybody should come how they are. But don't stay how you are. See, our come how you are is Satan telling you don't judge. Who are we to judge? And we're just glad you're here. I'm not just glad you're here. If you don't want all that God has for you, that makes me sad. I want you to be here so God can continue to do more in your life. So God can take you farther than you've ever went. So he can reveal things to you you've never seen. So you can experience things you've never experienced. And guess what? So the demonic can stop going to the temple every Sunday and actually be delivered. Because in the Bible, there were always possessed men that were in the temple. And the worst thing in the world is to have church and leave people in their bondage. But when Jesus showed up, because he wasn't religion, he was truth in body. When he showed up, watch this. When Jesus showed up, they didn't say, well, who are you to judge him? You don't know his heart, bless God. We're good at that one too. Well, you don't know their heart. Yes, I do. You know them by their fruits. Your heart will be manifest in the way you live. Yes, I do know your heart. And the Bible tells me that I can judge you with righteous judgment and you can judge me with right. That's scripture. When truth showed up, truth didn't even have to speak. The demons began to speak back to him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do we have to do with you? What have we done? Because when the Holy Ghost shows up, every devil in hell has to flee. That's why we've got to be a worshiping church, because we want to stir God up, and he inhabits the praises, and we need to get the presence and the power of God moving so people can be delivered, so they can be set free. And I got news for you. This nonsense that people are doing today, come here, Ty. No, I might hurt you, so don't get mad at me, okay? Turn around. This stuff here that you see in churches. Yeah! You okay? That is nothing but showmanship. You don't shove people down. You don't get up there and hit them with your clothes. All that nonsense is showmanship. You know what that says? Not look at Jesus, it says look at me. I'm off base. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That scripture echoes what Jesus taught Nicodemus, water and spirit birth, washing of regeneration. The terminology washing, water, it's always used as a metaphor. Jesus used it as a way of appealing to our senses, getting us to grasp something. That's why when you read in, I always want to say Galatians, but it's not Galatians. The scripture says that when the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, they were baptized unto Moses. It was a typology of water baptism. They passed through the water. It's there. You can read it. And so it says we're not... Not by works of righteousness, which means you cannot be so holy. You cannot read enough scripture. You cannot pray enough. It's not, hey, that should encourage you. That should encourage you, because that's where you understand that he is made strong in my weakness. He's made perfect in my weakness. And so it's in my weaknesses that the power of God is perfected within me. And so it's not done by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the question is, do you want to go to heaven? The next question is, do nice people go to heaven? Nice people don't go to heaven. New people go to heaven. Years ago, I went through years of praying for God to reveal some things to me. And I won't give you all the details, but I did tell the Lord that I would not preach this message anymore until he proved to me that it was true. I did. And God revealed it to me. But it was years of praying. But the last part of it was I had a hard time understanding how nice people can go to hell. I couldn't understand it. My mind, I knew that niceness don't get you to heaven, but I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Am I okay? And so I had a funeral to do with another preacher who I did not know. And I did my part of the funeral. I went out and I sat in a little vestibule right outside the area where they were sitting, and he was doing his part now. And it was a wide open door. And I'm not insinuating this man was going to hell because I don't know him. But I was just talking and I was listening. And he sounded so good. And I just looked up and I said, God, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a revelation today. You can learn a lot just by asking. I said, ask and you shall receive. And that sounds simple. We don't ask. We don't ask. Nicodemus asked questions. He got answers. After Pentecost, they asked and they got answers. We don't ask. We just assume. Or we just pretend like we have all the answers. So I asked God. I looked up and I said, God, how can somebody like this go to hell? And the Lord very quickly, very firmly, as soon as I quit, I stopped asking, said, because they never search for me. He said, there is no seeking. He said, there's no hunger. There's just put a nice sermon together and go to the pulpit and preach it. There's no searching. Listen, if you love God, if you want to go to heaven, you got to search him out. I've been married March will be our 28th year. And I will tell you, over the years, I've worked to try and find ways to keep my marriage healthy and happy. I didn't just sit there. I've researched things online. I've called people up and asked them questions. When my kids were younger, I called up a whole bunch of preachers that I knew who their children were adults and their children were still in church serving God. Most of them were active in ministry. And I called them up and I said, what did you do to keep your kids in church today? Because too many preachers' kids and saints' kids backslide and want nothing to do with church. They gave me these litany of answers, most of them kind of in the same spirit. And I observed that. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to make sure I keep my kids in church serving God. I asked, ask God questions. And when you do, he'll answer you because they never search for me. They never seek me out. And then scriptures start flowing in my mind. I just read one to you. Ask and you shall receive. You know, when we have a doctrinal dispute, you know what we do? We dig our feet in and we just die on that grave. We don't ask God. I don't care how long you've been serving God. Ask him. I've been in church, well, not my whole life. We got in church when I came home from the foster home when I was 11, and that church bus picked us up. We went for a couple years, and we moved out to Ashtabula County. From the time I was 11 until I was 18, we didn't go to church again. When I was 18, I moved back into Cleveland, started going to church again. And so it wasn't just put in me, but I did a lot of seeking, a lot of searching, a lot of asking. I would see questions, and there's nothing wrong with questions. But one thing I would never do is just die on my own heel. Why? Because the gospel's bigger than me. The word is bigger than me. Truth is bigger than me. And I never want to be led or deceived otherwise. And so, no, nice people don't go to heaven. New people go to heaven. Heaven is so eternal, if that's a proper terminology, that we should emphatically filter all the trash and the junk of this world and find the truth. And the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. That, listen to me, that means the truth will cost you something. It may cost you friends. It may cost you family. It may cost you fame. It may cost you, buy the truth, it will cost you. And when you buy it, don't sell it for anything. There's no promotion. There's no man, no woman that's big and that's good enough that you should walk away from this truth once you have given everything to obtain it. Because it is the thing that's going to help us get to heaven if we want to go to heaven. Buy the truth and don't sell it. We've all, I'm watching the clock. We have all grown up with this understanding. Sometimes truth hurts. What I've found is we like to say that until it hurts. And sometimes when truth hurts, coming from the pulpit, we get upset. We get frustrated. We get irritated. Because truth can hurt, but that's okay. So listen, Romans 3:23, don't put it up there yet. Get Isaiah 64:6 ready. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Easy enough to understand. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. Congratulations, you and I are things. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, this is good. I'm going to tell you why it's good. Because that means you don't have to worry about your imperfections and your failures. All of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. That means the best you think you are, it's like a filthy rag. Why is that? Because there is no good in us inherently. We are inherently, we are creatures of sin. That's what we are. Our flesh will always go to feed the flesh. And we have to change that. And it's only through his blood that we're able to. It's only through his power that we can. You see, the blood of Jesus opens the door. The power of the cross and the power of the Holy Ghost is what enables us now as we when we walk through that door. So, don't worry about being a failure in some things. Don't worry about your problems. We are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We don't do it. He does. And we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Go to the next verse. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. I love that verse. I told the church this morning, listen, you know what we got to stop saying? When I came to the Lord. You never came to the Lord. You never came to the Lord. You can't come to the Lord. He comes to you. You didn't find him. He found you. Prove that. Prove it. What were you when you were born? The Bible says that we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You're going to tell me you found him? No, sir. He found you. He found us. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. None. Why is that? Because then I can champion it as if it's something I did. And God says, that's nothing you did. It's everything that I did. And we have to understand that. That's good. That's encouraging. Thank the Lord. Because if it was me, I'd have never searched for him in the first place. But he went looking after me. He sent a bus driver down my road looking for me. We got on the bus. I still wasn't looking for him. I was just gone because my mom said, get on the bus. And then I got to the church. I wasn't running to the cross or to the altar. No. You know what I was doing? Sleeping half the time. Why? Because he found me. But somewhere after he found me, a little bit here and a little bit there. Here a little, there a little, the Bible says, some things begin to stick in me. And then one time something would get in my spirit and I'd begin to feel his presence and it began to gnaw at me and draw at me. And then I begin to feel like I need Jesus. And then I begin to make my way to an altar only because he opened up the door and he made the way and he paved the path clear for me to get to him if I wanted to come to him. This is really important because you have to understand you cannot find him. Only he can find us. Some of you don't like that. You know why? Because now you can't champion anymore. Well, when I found Jesus, you didn't find Jesus. I'm going to say it 100 times. He found you. You were a rank sinner in the world. When somewhere along the line, somebody, some sermon, some preacher, some door knocker, some flyer, some invitation, the Lord began to reach. And he goes on to say in verse 7, "For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." Don't write that off as Old Testament. Don't you dare do that. Because the New Testament says God heareth not sinners. That's what it says. You say, well, what's that mean? Figure it out. I'll give you enough to start today. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art potter. And we are all the work of thy hand." And so I said today, sinners, we don't draw up our own plan of salvation. Idolaters do. So if you draw up your own plan, if you think you can get to heaven off your own pathway, you're an idolater. That's a fact. That's biblical. That's not me. That's what the Israelites did when they made the golden calf. They said, "These be our gods that brought us up out of Egypt." They made their own way. We can't make our way. We follow his way. The scripture says, "Where I am, there will you be also." No, he doesn't come and find us on the bar stool and all those. No, we go where he is. We go where he is. We follow. That's why we're called followers of Jesus. What we do, idolaters make their own plan of salvation. Sinners follow the plan of salvation. Sinners never forget how filthy they were when he found us. So, what must I do? What do I do? You got to ask the question, first of all. You got to ask the question. Wherever you are in your life, you have to ask, God, what do I do at this stage in my life? You may be serving God now with all fervor and diligence. That doesn't matter. God, what do I do now? Remember a man by the name of Moses? Do you remember that when God called him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, God never gave Moses the map? He never gave him a GPS. No, you know what God did? And said, just follow me. And then Moses turned around to the other people and he said, just follow me. But we have a problem sometimes following, because we want to be the leaders. But God's system is built on a system of following. Okay, I'll take you to the New Testament. Some of y'all are still stuck in that Old Testament stuff. I can feel it. I'll take you to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. All that silly stuff that you hear people say, I don't follow man, I follow Jesus. You're not following Jesus if you don't have a pastor. You are not following Jesus if you don't have a pastor. Remember I said a while ago, truth hurts? There you go. That's biblical. Headship is biblical. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul, that they may do it with joy and not grief, for that's unprofitable for you. God has spiritual authority and headship over every one of our lives. Why is that? Not to rule us. We're not to rule. Listen, I don't want to rule anybody. Tomorrow morning, my wife and I are getting in a car early, and we're driving to the airport, and we're going to Myrtle Beach because somebody gave me their condo, and they said, here you go, just use it for a few days. I said, gladly. So no, I don't want to make anybody do anything, but I want people to go to heaven. I want people to go to heaven. There's nothing else that matters more than people go to heaven. Listen. You'll have heartache in this life. The Lord knows your heartache. But God has a promise. And one day, there will be no more heartache. There will be no more pain, no tears, no sorrow. I've got to stay focused on eternity. I've got to stay focused on where I want. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Sometimes, it's our human nature to stray off course, and then God uses the preach word to bring us back in alignment. I say this all the time. I'm going to keep saying it. I have people that argue with me. They send me text messages while I'm preaching. Start quoting that scripture right. Well, what's the right way? Never got my answer, because you don't know the right way, because it just doesn't sit well with your flesh. That's why. God chose, it pleased God that she chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you ever realize that he said to save those that believe, not the unbeliever? Did you ever realize that? Because it's the believers that tend to stray. After a long journey, listen to me. Israel's problem wasn't the wilderness. Their problem was their faith and then the longevity after 40 years, because they needed that long before they started trusting God. And sometimes it's the longevity of the journey that gets us. It's not just the journey itself. But in that journey, no matter how long it is, God teaches us how to trust him more. And he teaches. That's why, boy, I wish I could preach. In the Bible, if you want to do things biblically, God always provided, not us. I got to go to work, Pastor, on Sunday. Got to work some overtime. Well, first of all, you made your bills, not Jesus. That's your first problem. Secondly, it's not biblical. He's our provider. Don't call him Jehovah Jireh if he's not Jehovah Jireh in your life. Don't even speak those words. Am I okay? He's my, in the wilderness, he proved to us through Israel's exodus how he wants to be a God to all of us. I'll deliver you. I'll send a deliverer when I hear you. I'll pick the man. What's the Bible say? He gave us pastors after his own heart, not mine. God didn't send a messenger to Israel and say, hey, listen, God's going to send someone. He's going to bring you out of Egypt. He's going to go talk to Pharaoh. What kind of pastor you want? And then when he gets us out, he says, I'll feed you. And then he said, and don't, when that manna falls, you only eat enough for today. Do not take enough for 2 days or it's going to spoil. Why? Because God does not want humanity to become self-sufficient. He wants us always to rely upon him. Sometimes when you don't know the way and you don't know how, it's because God does. And he says, let me. You want to go to heaven? Do it his way. You want to go to heaven? Trust his word. You want to go to heaven? Walk his path. You want to go to heaven? You must be born again. You must have new birth. I'm going to try and bring this thing to a close. Honey, if you come up and get ready for me. So what do I do? We have to ask the question. Might get a little deep here in just a second. Acts 2:33, after the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost. After the Holy Ghost first fell, Peter preaches this wonderful message. At the end of the message, there was a question that arose from the crowd. It bothers me, listen to me, it bothers me that in the churches today, the preacher can preach and we have very few questions. What do I do now? God, what do you want me to do? Pastor, what must I do? We need to be people that ask questions. Ask and you shall receive. But typically only people that have too much pride don't ask, because we want to know the answers. And sometimes that's because you were forced to know all the answers growing up. And you were forced to find your own way. That's not God's way. God doesn't want you finding your own way. He wants to be the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And no man cometh to the Father except by him. That means you can't bypass the teaching of Christ. So, Peter preaching, and then he says in verse 33, he says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. And I'm not going to belabor this issue, but the key is at the end of verse 33, go back, because I'm not reading 34. I'll go to 37 next. The key is, he said, he has shed forth, or he has poured out this Holy Ghost, which you now see and hear. There's a physical manifestation that happens in you when you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to help kill a couple cows real quick. Number one, you are not filled with the Holy Ghost just because you were baptized. That's not biblical. doesn't happen. There's not one scripture to sustain that. And to the contrary, in Acts chapter 8, the Samaritan believers were, go home and read it. The Samaritan believers were baptized. And once they were baptized, the Bible says Peter and John, when they heard that the Samaritan had received the word of God, they came down unto them and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So now watch. The Samaritans were baptized and Peter and John knew they didn't have the Holy Ghost. So they went down to pray for them to receive the. How do they know? So you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's a teaching out there. It's not true. It's not biblical. There's not one scripture. Give me a scripture. If you want to contend with me in a Christian way, you give me a scripture after service. You can't find one because it doesn't exist. And I know this part of the text through and through. I spent a lot of years on it. Number two, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost just because you're a believer. That's not biblical. First of all, go back to the Samaritans. They were believers. But I will entertain skepticism for a moment. And I will say to you, the Bible doesn't say they were believers. Well, when it says they received the word of God, I don't know what you call that. But let's move on past that. Go to Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Put that on the screen for us. Acts 19:1. She's getting there. Now, Apollos was at Corinth, having passed through the upper coast. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, hold on. So these people that Paul came across, they were disciples. I'm going to get this in your brain. I want to burn it in your brain. They weren't sinners. They were disciples. And what's the first thing Paul does? He doesn't walk up and he doesn't say, "Hey, good to see you, man, girl, woman, you know. How you doing? How's the church? How's the ministry? How's the kids?" He asked none of those questions. You know why? Because he was serious about getting people to heaven. And nothing else mattered. He found certain disciples, and what's he say? Verse 2. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, I don't know. I've never done that to people. But could you imagine if you walk in here today, you're a visitor for the very first time, and I walk up and I say, "Hey, praise the Lord. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That's what Paul did. You know what they said? "We haven't heard about the Holy Ghost." You know the next thing Paul asked? What's the next thing he asked? "How are you baptized?" And they said, don't change it yet. They said, "Well, we are baptized under John's baptism." Now listen. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Spirit. How are you baptized? Water. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except the man is born of the water and the Spirit, cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." The whole book of Acts is about the disciples going to all the believers, not sinners. And now they're teaching the believers, now that Jesus has ascended, now that he's gone, the new birth plan of salvation is in full effect, and you must be born again of water and spirit. So they're going to all the believers, the Samaritans, the Gentiles in chapter 10, Paul in chapter 11. And now they're going to now they come to the disciples of John. "How were you baptized? Were you filled with the Holy Ghost?" And what he says in verse 4 is really the most important verse to the New Testament church in 2025. "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that you believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Here's what he said. First of all, when John baptized, he would go, "I baptize you unto repentance." The reason for that is because John did not want people to become his followers. That's why people love to use Peter's words, I believe it was, they love to use that as ammunition. Well, Peter didn't baptize that many people because Peter didn't want people following him. You would always follow the one who baptized you. So watch. So John says, "I baptize you under repentance." But when we are baptized, we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is a title. It's not a name. And we baptize in his name because we follow him. Now listen, I'll move on past it. But there is not a scripture in the Bible where anybody was ever baptized in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Doesn't exist. And don't try to go to Matthew. That wasn't a baptism. Matthew 28 was not a baptism. It was a teaching. Jesus was teaching them. And you know what he taught them? I'll tell you what he taught them. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't say the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost, because there's not three names. There's one name. That's why Acts 4:12 said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's easy. It's all put together. If you just follow God's plan, it's easy. So what? You were baptized in the titles. Big deal. You're 30 feet away from the water. Put me down in the name. Put me down in the name. Because Jesus said, except you want to go to heaven? He said, except the man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that's why the disciples go on teaching this. Now watch what Paul says. Here's what he says. You see it. I'm gonna explain it in short form for you. Oh, no, no. John only taught the people to believe on Jesus. The primary and predominant Baptist theology is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not biblical. I know the Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the entirety of it. That's not the only verse in the Bible. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just showed you the disciples of John were believers. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Am I boring you? Listen, I know some of you are like, well, I know this. Great, then go teach it to somebody. Great, you know it. I'm trying to give you ammunition. What you need to go is you need to start telling people, do you want to go to heaven? Well, of course I do. Well, then here's how you got to go to heaven. You must be born again. This is what Jesus taught Nicodemus. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, here's my last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Ty, grab a microphone and read that for us. You do a good job. He's one of the most proper spoken young men his age that I know. He gets up, I close my eyes, I think there's a 40-year-old standing there.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized. Mm-mm.
No, she didn't. There you go.
Know you not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Okay, so hold on. Unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot live unrighteously and inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven living an unrighteous lifestyle. Now listen, you can go to heaven having struggles. You can go to heaven falling and having failures. But living unrighteously is a choice. It's a choice. It's a lifestyle. You can't, well, I feel the Lord. Of course you do. He loves you. He's trying to draw you out of your unrighteousness. You're going to feel him. Feeling Jesus does not translate into I'm saved and ready to go to heaven if I die today. Feeling Jesus is the love of God. I like to hug. I hug sinners and saints alike. Does that mean I'm affirming their lifestyle? No. I just love them. Jesus loves us. So, you got a Bible there? Come on up here. Bring that thing up here. You got it on my eye. You read that. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Neither formality. Be not deceived.
Hold on. Be not deceived. We live in a world of deception. Satan is trying to lie to people and keep them deceived long enough until their last breath leaves their body. That's why hell hath enlarged herself beyond measure. So you got to go to your prayer room and say, God, I don't want to be deceived. What must I do? Go ahead. Don't be deceived.
Neither
fornicators. You cannot live a life of fornication and go to heaven. And what's the next one?
Nor idolaters.
Idolaters. It's all right. I will give you a pass. Idolaters. That one. The Church of America, we move right past idolatry. Because, well, that's not me. I have no statues. I pray to Jesus. Do you realize your music can be idolatry to you? I told the church this morning, if your music is what picks you up, Air One, I'll listen to it. Oh, I love Air 1. Give me my pick-me-up. Some lady called in the other day. Oh, yeah, I was down, and I listened to Air 1. It just picked my spirits right up. Well, listen to me. That's flesh. That's why you can come to church, worship God. The music can be playing, great songs, great everything, and you go home, and you get in a fight with your spouse on the way home. Because that was just nothing but feeding the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And you like what you feel. But serving God is about feeling. You don't believe me? Ask Jesus. Lord, if this cup may pass, I'm not feeling it right now. Not really feeling it now. If it can pass, but nevertheless, not my will. He should have said, not my will, not what I feel, but thy will be done. So idolaters, fornicators, you cannot live that. Adulterers, go ahead.
Nor adulterers.
Adulterers. You can't be in adultery and go to heaven. You can't. Go ahead.
Nor effeminate.
Effeminate. Now that means to have your senses dulled over time, soft. What that is when you are constantly, I'm trying to hurry, when you're constantly feeding the flesh, what happens is you dull your spiritual sensitivity and you become effeminate. And you're no longer moved by the word. You're no longer moved by truth. What's the next one?
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's nothing in me that wants to say this. But you cannot be in an alternative lifestyle and go to heaven. You cannot. You cannot. And I love you enough to tell you. You have to leave that lifestyle. You have to leave it. That's no different. Before we got to that, that's no different than me trying to justify adultery. Well, I have feelings for her. So what? Who cares? Get off your feelings, America. Get off your feelings. This isn't a walk of feelings. It's a walk of faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. What's the next verse?
Nor thieves.
Thieves. Can't steal. Go figure. Go ahead.
Nor covetous.
Coveting. That's one of the last predominant last day spirits. In the last days, men shall be covetous. First thing the scripture calls out. Coveting, standing, and you'll stand in long lines to get your PS5. You'll line up for days, but you won't even drive 5 miles and walk through the back doors of the church. And you think you're going to heaven? Not happening. I'm telling you. Listen to me. One day we'll be judged by the sermons we hear. I'm telling you. You want to go to heaven? I want you to go to heaven. Not coveting. It's not going to get you to heaven. One of the commandments. Go ahead.
Nor drunkards.
Drunkards. Can't be an alcoholic and go to heaven. You can't. You got to leave that lifestyle. It's hard. I know it's hard. That's why you need the power of God. Go ahead.
Nor revelers.
Revelers. There's a word for that, and I can't remember what it is right now. Go to the next one. You look it up.
Nor extortioners.
Extortioners. You can't be deceiving people, defrauding people. You can't call them up, pretend to be their car insurance company, telling you you missed a bill. You're not going to heaven. What's the next verse say?
Shall inherit the kingdom of God.
None of those things shall inherit the kingdom of God. Is there more? And such were some of you. Go ahead, read that.
But ye are washed, but ye are saints.
Wait, some of you, not all of you, but you are washed. So if you've been washed in water, you're one of them. You've been washed. Put that on the screen. You are sanctified. You are,
but ye are justified.
Justified. How?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord
Jesus. And by the Spirit of
and God. By the Spirit of God. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. I know I took a lot of time today, but I had a lot of stuff to give you here. And so forgive me for that. But listen to me. There's Jesus' message to Nicodemus again, except you're born of the water and the Spirit. So here's where we end it. I got to close. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Do you want a new car? Yeah, I want a new car. Okay, you got to get a job. I don't want to get a job. Then you can't have a new car. Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Okay, but you can't live the life of an idolater and go to heaven. But I like my idolatry. You can't be covetous and go to heaven. There's a whole list. Listen. Precious people, this isn't hard. I'm trying to explain to you it's easy. But we have to deny our flesh. That's why the Bible says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. If you want to go to heaven, you got to teach yourself to follow the word to the T. You must be born again. If you have not been buried in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and I can give you more scripture. The Bible says that we're buried with him by baptism in Romans chapter 6 and in Colossians chapter 2. That's how you identify with the death of Christ, is through water baptism and risen with him in the faith and operation and power of God. So stand with me, because you've sat long enough and I'm probably wearing out my welcome. Can I get you to do something? Could we get everybody to come to this front altar? Don't not to kneel down. Just come. Angel, do you want to go to heaven? I believe you do. Then hear me this morning. Okay? I'm not calling you out. You just happened to walk by, so I called you. It's not because of something I know about you. I promise. I want to go to heaven, Sister Crystal. I want to go to heaven. More than anything in the world, I want to go to heaven. I don't know where this will fit in your life today, but I'm asking you to ask God. If nothing else, before you leave, because I want you to go to heaven, ask God. God, where does this apply in my life? Where does it apply? Ask him. Listen, changing doctrine by the truth, sell or not, changing it will not get you to heaven. You'll get to the end of your road and you still will not. You'll be shocked. And then you'll be like the rich man. And you'll say, God, I'm in torment. Can you just give me a drop of water? And he won't. And you'll say, okay, will you at least send someone back from the dead to preach to my brothers? And he'll say, if they won't receive the preacher who they have with them today, the one would come back from the dead, they won't receive it. Can we close our eyes? Lord Jesus, I believe that every person here wants to go to heaven. I pray, Father, that you would help us wherever and however this word would apply today. God, we need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your word. Lord, we must be born again, and I want to be if I am not. God, if I've not been born of water, I want to be born of the water. If I've not been born of the Spirit, I want to be born of the Spirit. God, as a preacher, I do not want to preach a watered-down message just to get people back. No, I want to get them to heaven. God, let this word fester in our spirit, I pray. Don't let it die. Let it continue to gnaw at us. Let it continue to speak to us every moment of every day. I want to go to heaven, and I want these people to go to heaven too. When you take us out of this life, all that matters is, where am I going? Go ahead and sing. I think you ought to grab somebody by the hand beside you, in front of you, behind you, and just pray together this morning for a couple minutes. Would you do that? All right, as you keep your eyes closed, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to speak out. Have you ever bought something and later you're like, why did I buy that? Have you ever bought a car and then later you highly regretted it? You know why? Because they sold you off of appeal. Satan will try to sell this world a gospel of appeal rather than a gospel of truth. Be not deceived. Lord, I pray today that you open our eyes and our ears and our understanding. Because I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want anybody to be deceived. Let the Holy Ghost, God, affirm that in us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Such an amazing word we heard this afternoon. If we could just lift up our hands one more time and pray a prayer of dismissal. Lord Jesus, we've come together in this house this afternoon to hear from you, Lord, and that's exactly what we did. God, we heard your tender, loving voice, oh Lord, and I ask that as we begin to leave this place this afternoon, God, that the message, Lord, that was spoken here, Lord, just leaves with us, God, that we can take it home, God, that we can ponder it over the next several days, oh Lord, God, that it inspires us and it encourages us, Lord, to get deeper into the Word, God, to go deeper into the prayer room, Lord, each and every day, Lord, and build a better relationship with you, Lord, God, until we can see you face to face, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord, and all that you are going to do in this wonderful congregation. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. You can stay and pray as long as you would like.